I trust that you've had a good day in Christ so far, a very fruitful one. And I'm very excited about sharing God's word with you again today. Today I want to talk to you a little bit about ordinary time. Now, if you don't come from a liturgical background and therefore don't follow the Christian year, which begins with Advent, which is late in November, then ordinary time may not make much sense to you. But the wisdom of the Christian year, which the church has been honoring for a very long, 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 long time, since the early church, is that that is to redeem time, to kind of like the Jewish calendar. The Jewish people had a secular calendar as well as a sacred calendar. And the sacred calendar would remember those sacred acts of God, and also all the feasts, like the Feast of Tabernacles, the Day of Atonement, those different things. The feasts they would follow would remember saving acts of God. And the same thing for the Christian. Early in the church, early on, they cultivated a Christian calendar. They honored the sacred calendar, but they also follow a Christian calendar which remembers the saving acts of God in Christ. And so it starts with Advent, so Advent ends at Christmas. So Advent is a looking forward to the birth of Christ. It's looking forward to the second coming of Christ, but then it ends with the birth of Christ at Christmas. And there's a season, the 12 days of Christmas. And after that, the Epiphany, where the gospel was revealed to the Gentiles, first and foremost, celebrated with the Magi and their coming to Christ. There's the season after the Epiphany, which is part of ordinary time. I kind of wish it wasn't, and I'll explain to you why. And then, nothing's ever going to change for me. I'm just saying it would make more sense if it didn't. Then you have the season of Lent. And then Lent ends with Holy Week and Easter. Easter is a season of 50 days. There's a season after Easter, which is, again, ordinary time. And during ordinary time, the color that's used is the most common color, which is the color green. And so there's more ordinary time than any other time. Because after Pentecost, you go all the way back into Advent in late November before you change seasons again. And often the season of the ordinary time after Pentecost is also referred to the season after Pentecost. Now, let me say a couple of things. Pentecost is actually the culmination of Easter. Jesus is risen from the dead. We were raised up with him. We were ascended with him. And then there's the pouring out of the Holy Spirit into our lives so that we might know experientially the presence and the power and the ability of the living Christ in us and through us by the person of the Holy Spirit. In other words, what's true about you because of Easter and the Ascension now becomes true experientially to you because of Pentecost, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians says we're to continually live filled with the Holy Spirit as we stay surrendered to the Holy Spirit living the life of Christ out through us. Now, the season after Pentecost is called, again, ordinary time because most of our lives are lived doing ordinary things. For those of you who've gone to conferences before and you've had amazing encounters with the Lord, you may have had all kind of incredible things happen to you and stunning things going on in your life. But at some point, you got to come home and do ordinary time. You still have your job. You still have, if you're married, your family, your husband, your children. Or if you're single, just navigating being single and doing your work and having friends and relationships and all that kind of stuff. Ordinary time. But because Pentecost comes first, before ordinary time, and it has to, because if you're going to do ordinary time in a supernatural and Christ-like way, then you have to first experience Pentecost. That's why I kind of wish that the brief ordinary time after the Epiphany until Lent was not there, because you shouldn't have ordinary time until there's Pentecost first. Because you can only do ordinary life in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's just the fact. That's just the reality of it all. Let me show you a scripture. I was going to look at one scripture, which we'll do tomorrow. But as I was talking, the Holy Spirit really reminded me of this one. So if you'll turn your Bibles, if you have one, and if you don't have one, you can trust that I'm reading from a legitimate Bible. It's the New American Standard Version, okay? So I want you to listen to the language here. And you can't get more ordinary than doing something as down in the dirt, down to earth, blood and guts, as washing somebody's feet, a group of men's feet. So here is John chapter 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world. Now, they weren't perfect men. They were in the world. He loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. It's sometimes translated to the uttermost. And I would say that both of those are true. He loved them to the uttermost, all the way to the end, regardless of what they did or didn't do. He never stopped loving them. That's a good description of ordinary time. Loving people to the uttermost with the love of Christ to the very end, no matter what their behavior's like, no matter what they do or don't do. Doesn't mean that we don't hold people accountable, but you never stop loving them to the uttermost. So verse 2, and during supper, the devil, having already put into Judas Iscariot's heart the son of Simon to betray him, Jesus knowing that the Father, now listen to what he says, Jesus knowing, there's a knowing that we have to always walk in. If we're going to abide in Christ, if we're going to live a life of sustained, continually being filled with the Holy Spirit, there's a knowing that you must have that Jesus had. Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, he had come forth from God, was going back to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself about, then poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. So here's Jesus on his hands and knees, had stripped down to just his loincloth. He takes a basin and a towel, the basin's full of water, and he's on his hands and knees washing these disciples' feet, these men who were in the world, who weren't perfect, who he knew they were going to deny him. He washes Judas's feet too. Judas was going to betray him. Peter, the leader, was going to deny him three times, yet he's washing their feet. What an expression of humility. What an expression of transparency. Now, to love people to the uttermost means you have to be transparent. There can't be hidden places, things that you protect. You got to be vulnerable. You got to be vulnerable to love the people that you know might hurt you, might betray you, might deny you, might whatever, reject you in some way. But that's ordinary time. That's ordinary life. We deal with people like that all the time, don't we? You've had people hurt you. You've had people reject you. You've had people betray you. People walk away from you. People disappoint you. But we're still called to love them to the uttermost and to wash their feet. Now, the washing feet here, we don't have time to do this today. Washing feet metaphorically speaks of forgiveness. But I think it means more than just forgiveness. It means loving them. Loving them even though they have dirty feet. Forgiving them and loving them to the uttermost. Doesn't mean I'm accepting their sin. Doesn't mean that I'm condoning their sin. But it means I never stop loving them to the uttermost. I never stop serving them. You know, I never stop forgiving them. That's not an option. I'm cleansing their feet. I'm loving them and all that goes with that. Now, what I said to you earlier, what was the most important thing? Because remember, Jesus did this, clothed in your humanity and mine. He did this as the Son of Man. He didn't do this as deity. He did this as one filled with deity. Now, Christ was always God. Hear me? He was 100% God always, but he was also 100% man. And we're told in Philippians 2, he laid down his right to live from his deity. And we know that from Luke 4, Or Luke chapter 3, we knew from Matthew 3, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon him as the Son of Man. He didn't get anything more than he had already had, but it was released in him. And he lived as a Spirit-filled man, though he was God, very God, in his incarnational life. He lived out of that place of total dependence, living by faith, Spirit-filled. And so as a Spirit-filled, incarnational Son of Man, here he is washing the disciples' feet. But this is what he says. Here's that verse, or that word I told you was so important. He was always conscious of. We must always be conscious of. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, he had come forth from God, was going back to God. He knew his identity. He knew who he was. And he says that he knew that the Father had given all things into his hands. Now, wouldn't you think, after making that statement, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, Jesus raised the dead. Jesus healed a leper. Jesus healed somebody lame. He healed the blind. But no, it says, and the Holy Spirit does this on purpose, the sequence here. Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, all that the Father has was his. Knowing that, he got on his hands and knees and loved them to the uttermost and washed their dirty feet. You see, you and I must live with the same consciousness in ordinary time. Our consciousness is this. Jesus said that all things that the Father has were his, John 16. And the Holy Spirit's role in our life is to make real to us, to manifest to us, all that Jesus has and all that Jesus is. And Jesus said in John 16, all that he had and all that he was all that the Father has. So all that Jesus has, which is all the Father has, the Holy Spirit makes real in us. Man, that's a lot. And so Jesus did this miraculous thing. See, it's a miraculous supernatural act to love to the uttermost those who you know are going to betray you, who are going to hurt you, are going to deny you, who are going to disappoint your expectations. You hear what I'm saying? But he could only do the ordinary thing knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. You and I can only do ordinary life in an extraordinary way, having come through Pentecost. Only with you having been filled with the Holy Spirit and living with a consciousness that all that Christ is and all that Christ has is living in you and through you and from him and all that he is and all that he has. You simply, in surrender to him, you love the person to the uttermost from Christ, not for Christ, but from Christ, actually stewarding his life in union with him, loving them with the same love of Jesus. Jesus loving them by you, from you. You loving them by him, that union. Hear me? Him loving them through you. You're loving them through him in union. Only knowing that the grace of God, that all the riches of God, all the spiritual blessings are yours. Haven't you discovered that can you love the people in front of you who your flesh would like to pinch their head off? Your flesh would like to give them a piece of your mind. That's just what they don't need. They need a piece of Jesus' mind, and you have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. You with me? I think they should change it to extraordinary time. Because you can do ordinary things with extraordinary love, by extraordinary power, by extraordinary grace. You can do ordinary things in extraordinary Christ-like ways, not by trying to be like Christ, but by simply allowing Christ to live his life through you in that moment. You can do the most ordinary things on a daily basis, the blood and guts, the nitty-gritty, the dealing with people, dealing with situations, dealing with circumstances, dealing with ornery bosses, on disappointing or ornery employees, friends that are weird and wonky sometimes. You can do that to the uttermost love. You can do that to the uttermost, loving them to the uttermost in a Christ-like way. Because you know that all things that Jesus has been given to you. You're a co-heir with Christ. And though because of now, the wonder and the freedom of now living a life in ordinary time from the supernatural power of the Jesus, of the risen Christ who lives in you. That's the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life is doing ordinary things in a supernatural way. Again, that verse from Colossians chapter 3, which I love to quote, for you've died. The old selfish you, self-centered you, inadequate you, guilty you, under the condemnation of sin you, died. That independent self died. For you have died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now when Christ, who is your life, is manifested moment by moment as you simply yield to Him and live from the inside out. And when Christ, who is your life, not just your helper, not just your Lord, Christ, who is your life, is manifested through you, then you're manifested with Him in glory. You can do ordinary life, ordinary stuff, the simplest details, just working on the bills at your desk, ordinary time, having a conversation with somebody about nuts and bolts stuff, and do ordinary things in extraordinary ways. Because Christ Himself is living through you, and you live in that ordinary moment, doing extraordinary things in extraordinary ways from Him in the atmosphere of the manifest glory of Jesus. That's the realm you are called to live in. Christ in you, Colossians 1:27, the hope of glory. I hope that these kind of words excite you about the possibility. When Jesus said that He came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, He really meant it. It's this way of life that Jesus lives that's other than anything you've ever experienced. Please don't measure normal by what you think or feel. Only measure normal based on what He thinks or feels. He's the truth about everything, and He lives in you. Nothing that happens on the outside has changed the truth about who He is on the inside. And if you live from Him, you can do ordinary life, cooking a meal for your family in an extraordinary way, experiencing the manifest glory of God because you just are yielded to Him. And it's Christ in you in union cooking that meal. Amen? Okay. Well, have a good rest of the day. God bless you. I pray that you experience the rest of this day in ordinary time, which is what we're in now, the season after Pentecost. You would do the rest of this day in light of the reality of Pentecost pulsating inside of you, the Holy Spirit just continually filling you with the life of Christ. Have a great evening.